Can I tell you, like, secret in my heart? Mm-hmm. I was scrolling through Facebook the other day, and I saw a picture of kids sleeping on the floor under foil blankets, and I was used to it.
Mm-hmm.
I got used to it. Mm-hmm. And it was something that I was so horrified by. I could barely talk about it. I couldn't sleep. I was horrified by this thing when it first happened. And now when I see pictures of it, even I, like, militant, screaming, liberal, angry mom, gonna hunger strike for these kids. When I see the picture now, I am used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have the same, like, visceral response for me. And that's a really scary thing. 'Cause, like, if it's getting more okay in my mind to see those images, what is happening for people who, like, already were on the fence about whether these family separations were okay? Talking to your Republican base, like,
mm-hmm.
this was not a thing that you were unanimously against.
If something's uncomfortable, it's very easy for people, no matter what their political party is, to kind of, like, brush it under the rug or just negotiate with themselves so they can take it.
Totally.
You know, I've done it for different things in my life. Like, oh, well, it's probably okay, because not for this
people
case,
get used to anything.
Yeah, you can get used to anything.
Get used to anything. And I will say that's why I love this hunger strike as a statement of solidarity. Because when you are separated from your child, as when you have not eaten, that is not something that you can ignore. That is not something you get used to. Every minute is an eternity. Every day feels unbearable. How am I going to get through this day? It's the only thing you can think about. So that sense of hunger and need, like, basic need, to me speaks so much to the heart of the inhumanity behind this family separation. And that's why I love participating in this group. It's called Hungry for Justice. And this is a nationwide rolling hunger strike. So it's bouncing from city to city every 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming to Seattle at the end of August. This is a hunger strike to protest family separation and to demand that the state, of course, return all of the children to their parents as expediently as possible, but also to then offer support and basically reparation to these families for the trauma that they have inflicted on them. Like, these families, it's not like, oh, I'm back with mom, I'm okay now.
Right.
Like, they're going to need some freaking help. Those kids are...
I'm still very disturbed. I'm disturbed by. I'm still very disturbed by the fact that some of these kids are so traumatized they can't recognize their parents right away.
Oh, my God. If you want to participate, they're doing them in cities all over the U.S., and they're adding more cities every day. If you go check the website and you're, like, in, you know, Cincinnati or whatever, and Cincinnati doesn't have a hunger strike planned yet. I think Cincinnati does. But if your city doesn't have a hunger strike planned yet, you don't have to be like, well, I'm going to round up 100 people to hunger strike. You know, you can get 6 people together and you sit together under a banner in front of a building and you play some music and you say, this is why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep it
drawing attention in the conversation.
You keep it in the conversation. You keep it in the news. You keep it, like, this is an important problem that isn't just going to go away by itself, but it will just go away if we don't keep calling attention to it. So Hungry for Justice, go find it on Facebook. That's predominantly where it is. They also have a website, Hungry for Justice. We'll put it on our show notes. And we'll also have it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/mouthymessymandatory. Really wanted to open with that this week because it is so, so, so critical, not just for these kids and their families, but for you and me and who we are as a country and who we are in the world. Let's end this fucking bullshit already.
Yeah.
Please. All right.
You're listening to Mouthy, Messy, Mandatory. I'm Ro Neat.
And I'm Katie. Hey, do you think we should start doing our first and last names?
So what were you going to say? Katie Anthony, Ro Neat?
Yeah, like Katie that? Anthony and Ro Neat Fineglass Plank. I don't know. There's something nice about saying your whole fucking name.
What's
sometimes.
Funny is my husband said to me, he's like, you know, you can drop the middle part and just say Ro Neat Plank if you want. You know, it's kind of long. And I was like, I don't know. Katie really recommended that I keep the middle name because it's sort of part of my whole identity.
Strong disagree, Mr. Fineglass.
His name is not Fineglass.
I know. That's
so confusing.
Why it's
it really
funny.
Freaks me out. Like the Trumps. We're going to talk about the Mrs. Trumps.
Yeah, let's talk about the last names of the two women who were
who
calling.
Katie likes to call Mrs. Trumps.
I like to call them the Mrs. Trump.
But I said Ivanka is not a Mrs. Trump. She's a Mrs. Kushner / Ms. Trump. And you don't want to call her Mrs. Trump because then it sounds like she's married to her father.
Yes, but you see, Mrs. Trump is a very nice collective proper noun to refer to all of the women I hate today.
Let's call them the Mrs. Trumps.
Yeah, the Mrs. Trumps. The Mrs. Trump duo. The two Mrs. Trump.
So which one should we tackle first? Well, I think Ivanka is annoying me the most.
Yeah, let's do Ivanka first, because also then the Melania one is newer.
So yeah, we'll I feel kind of foolish, because a long time ago when SNL had their sketch about Ivanka Trump being complicit and stuff, and Scarlett Johansson played
that role.
When she walks into a room, all eyes are on her. She's Ivanka. And a woman like her deserves a fragrance all her own. A scent made just for her. Because she's beautiful. She's powerful. She's complicit. She's a woman.
I remember thinking it was funny, and I thought it was kind of cutting edge at the time, because I don't think I fully understood how much nonsense was spewing from her mouth, from her
face.
So the reason we're talking about this is because Trump keeps doing his Trumpy things.
Yeah,
and
Trump is doing bullshit.
He's always doing bad things, and it's stupid to even spend time on him. But then he's got these women in his orbit, many women, but the ones we're talking about the most right now are Ivanka and Melania, who then say things counter to what he's saying, or kind of change the message that he's given out. And so the old me thought, oh, good, there's reason in the White House, or see, he's just a bastard, and, you know, the women there, they know what's right.
Yeah, the first thing I want to do is play a little clip of Ivanka speaking to Axios. About family separation, about babies in cages.
That was a low point for me as well. I feel very strongly about that. And I am very vehemently against family separation and the separation of parents and children. So I would agree with that sentiment. I am a daughter of an immigrant. My mother grew up in communist Czech Republic, but we are a country of laws. So, you know, she came to this country legally, and we have to be very careful about incentivizing behavior that puts children at risk.
So we've got a nice example of a thing a human might say when confronted with the fact of babies in cages, right?
Well, that was a good answer. Good soundbite.
Well done, miss. And, you know, exactly what you were just saying, of Trump does this horrible, monstrous thing. He enacts this policy. He signs the paper. Babies are pulled out of their mother's arms and sent to prisons, essentially. Mm-hmm. And we're unable to match up hundreds and hundreds of those children with their parents again. And this is an ongoing national shameful crisis of humanitarian violation at the hands of the state. It was a real low point for Ivanka. It was like a real low point for her.
It sure was.
And like, that's a feeling we can all share. That is definitely a low point for me too.
Except that she's more in the position to do something about it. And then at the end, you know, she says, laws must be followed, or laws have to be followed. And, you know, just
don't. To me, this is a great example of the woman coming in, as you said, and softening up the man in her life. And in this case, it's not a husband and wife. It's a father daughter, as far as we know. And
stop it.
No, I know. I don't want to make that insinuation
it's not fair.
It's, well, he put it on the table, okay?
True.
He put it on the table numerous
and
times.
And publicly, she doesn't seem to mind it that much. I mean,
no,
she's not, like,
I'm sure
running
she hates
for the hills.
It. I'm sure she hates it.
But so what she's done is scramble the eggs.
Yes.
He has, like, these stink eggs he lays all the time, and she's just out there scrambling them for us. And Melania did the same thing. Now, originally, I thought, oh, good for Melania, because LeBron James
is opening a school in Ohio.
Awesome school. It's free. It's going to help disadvantaged youth. It's going to help with funding and education. And for some reason, doesn't even matter. Everyone has heard this already. I feel dumb even repeating it. Trump says he's like a dumb. What do you
call
him?
Because LeBron James criticized Donald Trump. Like, dude, get used to it. You suck. Everyone hates you.
He
goes after LeBron James and after Don Lemon, who interviewed him.
And dumb Don Lemon or something.
Exactly. Dumb Don Lemon, stupid LeBron James, horrible idea. And it's such a transparently racist thing. Like, he obviously just hates black people. I'm sorry to say that. That is a blanket statement, but it is proven over and over again by blanket actions.
Yep.
And after the internet explodes over this, Melania's rep comes out with a statement. it looks like LeBron James is working to do good things on behalf of our next generation. And just as she always has, the First Lady encourages everyone to have an open dialogue about issues facing children today. As you know, Mrs. Trump has traveled the country and world talking to children about their well-being, healthy living, and the importance of responsible online behavior with her Be Best initiative, which I can...
I know.
Okay.
Well, so my thought when I saw it, because I'm gullible, hashtag gullible, was, oh, good, Melania's taking a stand, and oh, good, see, there's dissension in the White House, and fantastic, yes. Some real stuff broke through. But then me and you talked about it, Katie, and it turns out I'm, as I said, super gullible, because this is another part of the scrambled eggs. He gets to go, like, throw a tantrum and basically throw shit all over the room. Mm-hmm. And then they come in and they try to make it look a little bit better, mm-hmm. confuse people a little bit more.
And you're 100% complicit. And they're constructing this illusion that there's, like, a reasonable debate to be had about whether LeBron James and Don Lemon deserve to talk about things. That's not a reasonable debate to have. You're the president of the fucking United States. Shut up. Yep. Like, this is not your job.
And also, we should not
Twitter.
Be looking at these. I mean, should we be looking? Let's ask the question. Should we be looking at these women to try to make things better? I mean, is it their responsibility? Like, what do we expect of them? Because on the one hand, we don't want to make them responsible for his actions. That's not cool or feminist.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think maybe we expect better or more from them because they're women.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, let's not get it twisted right now. Melania and Ivanka's goals here are not to temper the president. They're not to make him nicer, and they're not to impact any policy change at all. Their goal is to soothe the wounded consciences of Republican people who maybe feel like they like LeBron James, or who maybe feel like this babies in cages thing is really hard. They are there to speak to the base and make the base feel better. Like, oh, there's someone with the last name Trump who thinks the way I do. I'm still aligned with this
administration. So they're still at the concert. They're still at the concert, but they basically threw up their little lighters and they lit a flame so that
100%.
Everyone can feel super cozy about it, but they're still listening to the damn concert.
100% yes. Mm-hmm. And you know what this all reminds me of? Did you see Get Out? You saw Get Out.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know the Allison Williams character, the girlfriend,
the
daughter.
Yep.
He left 2 days ago.
He left?
Yeah, he got all paranoid and then he freaked out on me. And then he just got in a cab and left his phone. Wait, you haven't seen him?
Allison Williams did a whole bunch of interviews after Get Out where she talked about people's response to her character in this movie. And tons of people would come up to her after the fact and say, oh my God, but she was hypnotized, right? Like, that wasn't her.
Uh-oh.
She was hypnotized by the mom and the dad, right? And she's like, no.
No.
She's just evil. She's just
no
bad.
One wanted to believe it,
Nobody
right?
wanted to believe it. People want to give her the benefit of the doubt. And I do think it's reductive, but it's also true to say people want to give pretty white women the benefit of the doubt when it comes to being nice, when it comes to being someone that they can relate to or trust. And so when we see Melania and Ivanka come out and say something fucking reasonable against all odds in this White House, it's like, it's so seductive.
It's like a bomb.
Oh,
it's like,
God.
Okay, we can live with this a little bit longer.
It's so seductive.
He's not all bad. Yeah.
Totally. Don't
fall
buy
for it.
It.
Don't buy
Don't
it.
Don't buy it at all. It is fully a plan. This, like, dynasty has their PR plan mapped out for the next 3,000 years. It is a hella long PowerPoint deck. They're checking shit off one by one.
It's
These
just
tweets are all part of it.
Because that seems like it would take intelligence, and I don't understand where they would know how to do this stuff.
They're, say what you
Maybe
will.
Maybe tenacious.
They are, A, surrounded by incredibly smart people. I think Ivanka is a very smart, canny woman. I think Melania is a very smart, canny woman. I think Donald Trump is an ass clown, but he knows how to wield power. He has like four tricks that he does over and over again, and they happen to be effective tricks, and human beings are not that fucking smart as a collective group. Sorry, like, groups of people are easy to manipulate. That is a reality. Read Maria Konnikova's book about con artists. It is shocking how
really?
Easy human beings are to manipulate. I mean, maybe it's not shocking.
Yeah, look at all the cults out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I know. I think do not buy this. Do not accept this narrative that they feed to you. And every time Ivanka and Melania say something, assume that it was written in conjunction with Sarah Huckabee
Sanders.
Yeah,
they're not going off message or off grid.
No.
They didn't go rogue.
No.
Right? Like, that's, I think, the mistake that I made
totally.
Early on.
This is not a bat signal. This isn't like, progressive women, help me. No, she's not hypnotized. She's just evil.
Yep. That's it.
That's it.
Complicit. The fragrance for the woman who could stop all this, but won't. also available in a cologne for Jared.
Let's do a quick trigger warning, content warning here.
Let's do it.
Because we are talking about insults, and particularly gendered insults.
Yeah.
And so there, we're going to be dropping a lot more language than that we normally would not say. Like, yeah, we're going to say fuck and shit and bullshit.
Well, you are.
Goddamn.
I'm not.
Wiener.
I don't say that.
Ding dong.
You do.
Pagina.
I don't say that.
Lollipop. Submarine sandwich. Okay. No, we're gonna be dropping insults that we would not normally say, but are considered to be like highly gendered.
What's like a submarine sandwich mean?
Nothing.
It's just, okay. I was like still wondering about that.
It's a slur
is
for someone
illicit?
Who has a really big tongue. Because
okay.
It's like a big piece of meat on
yeah.
a submarine sandwich.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
That just came out
so
of my
anyway,
mouth.
So trigger warning. Turn us off now.
Yeah, we're going to. Yeah, there's just going to be some things that
might be.
Yeah.
Insulting
some slurs.
And
yeah, we're not going to be using them repeatedly and in a, you know, derogatory, hateful way. But we will use them as examples of mm-hmm. of insults.
Schmucky.
Yeah.
Insults.
Schmucky. That's a good one. OK.
Yeah.
So the reason we wanted to talk about gendered insults is that there's been a lot of conversation about the Me Too movement. You know, is it time for a He Too movement? No.
I said the whole world is the He Too movement. That's what I said.
That's so
and I'll
true.
I'll say it again.
Ugh, for fuck's sake. But as we've been evolving as a culture in terms of our language and our inclusion, we still have a lot of really, really gendered insults and really, really gender-specific ways that we put each other down.
Mm-hmm.
And as we did research on this, we found some really interesting stuff. So let me ask you something, Rooney.
I'd like you to. Go ahead.
What do you think is the worst name a woman could call another woman?
I think it's the C-U-N-T, right?
C-U-N-T?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Cunt? I think so.
I'm going to say
isn't
it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is. Or like twat.
Twat?
Don't
oh,
you think?
Really? See, I was going to go along more along the lines of like slut.
I don't know. I feel like you could playfully call someone a slut even if they were your friend. You'd be like,
but
you're
like
a slut.
But like mean-spiritedly.
Oh.
Like if you really wanted to take a woman down, would you call her, what would you call her?
I'd call her a cunt.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, that's to me, it's the worst, you know?
No, it's absolutely awful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the worst thing that a man could call a woman?
I think if a man called a woman a slut, that's pretty bad.
Yeah,
that
a man calling a woman
like
a slut.
Slut or cunt. I actually, in my opinion, a man calling a woman those words is worse no matter what.
Yeah.
Any of the words coming from a man to woman seems to me to be worse.
It seems more violent.
What about you?
I think a man calling a woman, yeah, cunt is pretty bad up there. And I think man to woman cunt is way worse than woman
for
to
sure.
woman cunt.
There's a shame involved in there, I think, if a man is saying it to a woman.
Yep, I totally yep. agree. So, next question. What's the worst thing a man would call another man?
I don't know. Motherfucker or I don't even know what
yeah.
they call it. I mean, douche is not even
like, yeah.
I
was
know.
Thinking
ass clown, like you just called Trump. I don't know.
I was thinking, and this is a slur
I haven't thought
for
about it,
a gay person.
Mm.
Like a faggot
mm-hmm.
or a pussy, like
that's true.
Something like that.
I hate to say it, but I think the slang word, I think faggot would be more insulting than pussy because sometimes guys will. I've heard them say things like, "Don't be a pussy."
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and that's not. It's not considered. See how I'm lowering my voice?
I know
I feel
it feels.
Terrible.
It feels really transgressive.
I feel very bad about saying these words.
And again, these are not words that we would. Call
yeah, we're just talking
people.
About gendered insults.
We're talking about
so,
gendered insults.
Yeah,
here.
I think that the pussy thing is bandied about a lot. I
it
think
is.
that's like a way to chide a friend.
Yeah,
guys
I heard
do that
someone
all the time.
Say, I heard someone say like, oh, you know, like don't be a scaredy cat, like a pussy cat. I'm like, fuck you. That's not what it means. Shut the fuck up. No, no.
Did you actually confront them? In your
it was
head?
On the internet.
Okay.
In my head. In my head, I did that. In my head,
it
I
was
shut
someone
the fuck
trying
up.
To justify what that expression meant.
Yeah.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Also, like. Like douche is like slightly funnier in a way
yeah,
than like those
it's a
other
funny
words.
Insult.
But I still don't like it because it has to do with
a vagina.
Woman. Yeah,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
totally. And then the worst thing that a woman could call a man.
I don't know.
Piece of shit. is one that I use a lot.
You're a piece of shit.
You're a piece of shit.
He's a piece of shit.
You're a real piece of shit.
I guess I need to up my insult game because I don't, a lot of these words don't come right to me.
I think, well, and I guess the point that
I'm better than you.
The point, you're amazing. your purity, you are definitely not a slut. The point that I was trying to make about this idea of like a woman on woman insult versus a man on woman insult versus a man on man insult is that they each communicate such very, very different qualities. And when you insult somebody, what you're basically saying is you don't meet my expectation of what you're supposed to be. So when you call a woman bossy, mm-hmm. for example, very a classic gendered insult, not quite as profane as some of the ones that we've been throwing around,
yeah.
or shrill or abrasive, it means she's not meeting the expectation that you had, that she's going to be pliable and quiet and easy to get along with.
In the framework that a man expects.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's also keeping someone in their place in like a traditionally feminine kind of role.
Mm-hmm. And when, you know, flip side, and sorry, we're doing this on the gender binary
yeah.
because we're talking about gendered language. And so most gendered language is on the gendered binary. So if you, you know, are neither or both, some of this may apply to you. Some of it may not. It is kind of a
be interesting to hear from you, too. If
yeah.
you want to join in on our Facebook and just tell us what you think about it, since you are non-binary, it would
exactly.
be interesting to understand how you take those insults and what do you think of them?
If you want to share those things, yeah. we'd love to hear them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think when it comes to men, like what are the qualities in men that we would insult them for not having, right?
It would
like,
be it
you're
would,
a pussy.
Yep. It would be stuff that would weaken them.
You're
it
a little bitch.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like a girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like anything that is considered emotional, anything that's considered female, those are all qualities that we insult
men with.
In men.
Yeah, if they have less fortitude than we expect them to have or than they, quote, should.
Totally. And how, I mean, kind of a side note, I don't know if this is necessarily a new point, but when you think about like if you did something and someone's like, way to be a Katie, Ronit, like nice Katie.
Like thanks for judging me along the lines of somebody else entirely,
yeah,
right?
She like my name is an insult. Who I am is an insult to you.
Right.
Wow. That's the culture that we live in right now. If you say don't, you know, you run like a girl. Now that's something that's been kind of like reclaimed by a lot of athletics companies and mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of
thank
ad
goodness.
Campaigns.
Yeah.
Yeah, like run like a girl, throw like a girl. Like a girl means like a fucking boss,
yeah.
not like a sissy nanny, like
not
an
like
uncoordinated
a wimpy
sissy
person.
Nanny.
Yeah,
yeah, totally. When you need to insult someone, as we all do, please don't insult someone by identifying them as a member of another group that is perfectly fucking okay, right?
Right.
Like, don't call someone gay when what you mean is irritating.
Yes.
Okay. Call them irritating.
Do some more specific insulting.
So I need some more specifics. I need some inventiveness, please.
Don't be lazy.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, there are so many different ways to insult people. I mean, I just like off the top of my head, I found this wonderful essay about gendered insults. The English language has lots of good non-gendered insults for egomaniacs and idiots, like scumbag, fuckwad, fuckup, nitwit, dipshit, asshole, asshat, dumb shit, ass weasel. It's a good one. Lackwit, serial killer apologist, paint chip gourmet, dumbass, hunka hunka, burning stupid, whiner, wanker, dolt, leech,
one
fuck
second.
Nugget,
pause.
Please.
You're saying these are okay?
Yeah.
Because I feel like wanker and scumbag seem male to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know why. Maybe it's the bag part.
Bag.
I mean, really?
I assume you're referring to testicles when you say bag. Is
yes,
that?
Yes, obvi.
Like your testicles are a bag of scum.
Yeah,
is what
that's exactly. Anytime someone says scumbag, I think of a seedy bunch of semen in
all
testicles.
Right. Whoa. This is real. You guys, how many E's for explicit next to this episode on
we'll
iTunes?
We have an expletive party.
Chucklehead, bleach gargler.
Oh, come on now.
Scurvy knave.
I can pull out the ones from Shakespeare, like linen cheeks, pale
yeah,
face.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not what anyone's going to say, Katie.
Master choreographer of the Charlie Foxtrot. I don't know what that
okay,
means.
Okay, I think you should maybe
all
let's
right,
just
anyway.
Talk now.
Yeah, no, but I...
can we talk?
Yeah, it does do like real damage to someone. It hurts more than the person you're insulting when you insult that person by identifying them as part of a group.
Right.
Right? Like if you call someone a bitch... That is a gendered insult against women. And if you're calling a man a bitch, you're saying you're like a little girl. You're like an annoying girl. And that's like the worst thing that you can think of to say to him in that moment. And what does that say? Not just to him, but about girls.
Yeah. Let's just stick to insulting the person you're insulting.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. like, let's just get really, really specific with mm-hmm. our insults, I think, is the way to go here. Gendered insults are so prevalent. I mean, like, that's not a shocker. But I found this interesting tweet from Feminist Frequency. Enemies in Witcher 3, which is a game, yell gendered insults at the playable female character, but insults thrown at the male lead are decidedly not gendered. So enemies call Geralt, who's the male, freak and mutant, due to fictional prejudice against magic. But when they call Ciri cunt, it's rooted in real life sexism.
Yikes.
That is the difference between those two, right? And then, of course, the next comment is, no, she's a fictional character, therefore it's fictional sexism.
Nice.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Hashtag he
right?
too.
So what are we all steeping in? And what are our kids steeping in?
Yeah.
And what are they learning? And I think if you have a kid around you, do your best to not let those slip out of your mouth, because mm-hmm. it happens all the time. And you grow up with adults around you who are just going to curse and say those bad words around you, and you then use them yourself.
Yep.
And it's better to just try to be a little less lazy.
And let's talk about, let's move a little bit toward more like the positive again and talk about kind of what we touched on a second ago, the reappropriation of gendered insults, like bitch. I use bitch
right,
a lot.
Right, right.
I use bitch a lot to describe myself. I think Amy Poehler and Tina Fey famously said, bitches get shit done. And I love when you see a group kind of reclaiming and reappropriating what was formerly a gendered insult to say, you might mean it to mean a shrill, unfuckable harpy. I mean it to mean I'm not going to take your shit now. You know, I love to see a group.
Right.
And of course, this can only be done by the group
that is being
against
minimized,
whom this is
yeah.
being. Yeah. Against whom this is being weaponized.
Right.
They can reclaim. I see a lot of women using the word cunt right and left.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
I have not.
A lot
seen
of
those
women
people.
Have reclaimed this word as saying, like, you know what? This is mine now. You can't hurt me with this anymore. It doesn't bother me anymore.
Right.
And I think that's such a powerful, powerful thing to do. If you're a member of a marginalized group, to be able to say, like, you know what? I reclaim it. Now, that obviously can't be done with every word. Right.
Like, you're saying a guy couldn't be like, because it's the wrong gender for this, douchebags get things done.
Yeah. I mean,
it kind of loses.
What about like pricks get shit done? Because prick is a gendered insult, right?
Pricks get things
pricks
done.
Pricks get shit done.
It's just
done.
Still gross.
Yeah, it is. And I honestly, so as much as I want to be egalitarian about this, this goes back to the question of equity versus equality. I give way fewer shits about gendered insults against men that are about the penis, because it's like, as you said, the world is hashtag he too,
yeah.
right? Like, your penis doesn't marginalize you.
Yeah, that's true.
Anywhere.
No. Nope.
You know what I mean? And people don't say to women, like, you're being such a penis right now. You're being such a dick right now. You're being such a wiener
that's
right now.
That's so like, true. You really don't.
Like, I mean, maybe. Like, I'm actually, you know what? Slow your Twitter roll, listeners out there. I believe that women call each other wieners sometimes and dicks and pricks and stuff. But I think it's just, it's about the power imbalance, right? Like, if pricks get shit done, of course pricks get shit done. You've always just been able to be a prick and get your shit done. It's not
right,
like you
there's
had
nothing
to,
hampering you.
No, totally. If somebody called you a prick, you're kind of like, yeah.
Yep.
Well, sorry, I got to close this deal.
Because pricks get things done.
Because pricks get shit done.
Yeah. All right. So what's our takeaway, guys? What is it?
Don't use gendered insults against people, especially if those gendered insults are a way to put down not only the person you're insulting, but also an entire group of people.
Yep.
Who are also okay, just existing.
Yep.
And I think it's okay to call people pricks, though.
Ah,
God, the cognitive dissonance there.
I don't know.
Fuck.
What do you think?
It's a tough one.
Find us on Facebook and
yeah.
let us know what you think about that one.
I think it's okay. I don't know. Don't accuse me of misandry, please. Please don't. I'm too tired. Like, language is evolving all the time. And again, we even said, like, a lot of this conversation is moving into a place of, like, the past already. Not just because of the passage of time, but because of the evolution of society, right? Like, the binary is something that we're having to call out and identify. Whereas, like, 2 years ago, we would have had this conversation.
Wouldn't be on our radar.
No, there would have been no conversation about what it means to be gender fluid. And so, I mean, a lot of these gendered insults hopefully either get appropriated back by the groups who, you know, people were trying to minimize them with, or they just kind of fade away as like, you can't hurt me with that. Mm-hmm. You're calling me a vagina? Cool. Yes. I don't. It's fine. It's fine to be a vagina.
All right. Okay.
Vaginas are great if you're into that thing, you know, like.
Yeah.
Cool. That's my hope. That's my hope about gendered insults.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
So you can find us if you love our podcast and you want to hear more from us and see us. You can find us on YouTube TV on the Young Turks Network on Smart Mouth. And we have new shows every Thursday.
Every Thursday at 8. Yeah, we literally just taped it. We tackled women's pockets. That was a big one. Osama bin Laden's mom speaks out for the first time. And
why there is no such thing as a foolproof yoga vote.
So it's dropping on Thursday. You just got a sneak peek. Pagina.
I don't say that.